This is Phil Farron. And I am driving to the church, and then I'm going to drive home, but it'll be dark by then, and I won't be able to see my notes, etc., etc. So this is going to be short because the church is only like 5 minutes away, but we'll talk for a little bit, and then we'll be done. We've got a meeting at church tonight, so with the audiovisual staff, so we got some kind of little get-together and training session, and so I'm going to be there, and I just dropped into Walmart to get myself a little salad and get little goodies, and so I'm going to be eating at the church, doing a little writing while I'm eating, and then go to the meeting, then go home, do a little more meeting, writing, spend some time with my sweetie, go to bed. That's my evening. Anyways, good week at work. Everything's puttering along. Made some progress on several different projects, so that's all well. Had some big meetings, got some things decided. So, yeah, that's all going fine. We had a big day last week. I think I mentioned it, where our K2 server went down hard, but it seemed to be fine this week. We had one little side effect through the application of those patches that we put in so fast, but it was not something that was actually affecting the users, and we were able to get that patched. Our guy who's our admin on those boxes, you know, does a great job, and so he did some research and figured it all out, got the extra update patches done, and there is some kind of a big, oh, there it goes, fire truck going by. So that all worked out fine, and like I said, it seems to be okay, seems to be puttering along, so all is well there. I'm puttering along on the last book 8. That seems to be going okay. I think I'm in the last normal chapter. I have to see if I can actually get all the pieces in play on this chapter. We'll see. There's still a little bit of story to tell, but it's amazing how you can compress story when you need to compress story and get it moving along. So that all seems to be fine. And things are... I still have... Once I get the normal chapter done, I will still have the newsfeed chapter to do, but that usually writes out really fast. So that's all fine. And then I'll have the epilogue to write. The epilogue! That's where things get exciting! And I have a somewhat challenging epilogue to write, but I really think it will work. I just have this idea that I think will work. And will hopefully not be as hopeless and depressing as the end of the last book was. I didn't think it was that hopeless and depressing, but some of my beta readers just thought it was... I had one beta reader who was like, this is great! I had a whole bunch more beta readers who were just like, no, just no, don't know! But that's all part of the fun of writing. You just get bunches of different opinions, and you just gotta be true to yourself and do the thing. Just write. I did notice, I'm sure... You all have heard, we had talked about Bitcoin several weeks ago and the energy requirements. And of course now, there's things like apps hijacking. If you download certain apps, they're actually mining Bitcoin in the background because they're trying to steal your energy. And I was reading another article about a lot of the Bitcoin miners are heading up to Iceland to install their servers up there because Iceland has so much in terms of geothermal energy and that energy's cheap, so they're going up there. Energy! Who would have thunk it? Energy is turning out to be the thing. with mining cryptocurrencies. So fascinating how stuff works out. Unintended consequences, unintended side effects. Okay, anyways, enough of that. So the topic this week is controversial. It is definitely controversial. And I'm actually taking all of this from notes in about a little 5-minute speech that Ben Shapiro did, where he just rattled off a bunch of stuff, as Ben Shapiro is wont to do. And I have no idea if all these statistics that I'm about to spew are actually true. But if they are, it's changed my mind about a few things. And it's, I find it really fascinating. So Ben Shapiro speaks with great certainty about these topics. I don't know that I can speak with as much certainty as he does, because I think there are a great many things that it's difficult to know within the heart of a human, and it's difficult to know within a mind of a human as to exactly what is going on. And, you know, I prefer to kind of give people benefit of the doubt on a lot of these things. But it is interesting. I will definitely say that. It is interesting. So, Ben Shapiro, I don't know if this was a riff as part of his thing or if he was specifically answering questions. I don't know. I don't know what it came up as. But the clip I was watching was Ben Shapiro talking about an article that he had read about a new book by Ian Halperin. And the name of the book is, and I just never thought that I would be speaking about this on this podcast, but this is interesting. The book is called Kardashian Dynasty, The Controversial Rise of America's Royal Family. Now, I don't know if you actually believe that the Kardashians are... That's my son-in-law just rolled in. How's it going, buddy? I don't know if you believe that the Kardashians are actually the royal family. What? I am recording. You want to be on the podcast? You want to be on the podcast? I think you are already. How's the back? Getting better. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. I'll be in a little bit. But anyway, so I don't know if you believe that, in fact, the Kardashian dynasty is America's royal family. Oh. Dear Jesus, I hope not. But what's interesting about this is this guy in this book claims that multiple sources have told him that the former Olympian, i.e. Caitlyn Jenner, the former Olympian has been miserable for months and has now considered transitioning back to being a man, according to one source. And he says that one source confirmed to him, I think this is Ben Shapiro talking now, one source confirmed to him that Caitlin has made whispers of sex change regret, hinting that she might go back to being Bruce Jenner. That she could detransition. Now, in reaction to this, Ben Shapiro says, okay, so that there's two possible stories here. And this is what he says, okay? I don't know if I can make these assignments, but this is what he says. He's like, oh, we've got two stories here. One is that a mentally ill man thought he was a woman and was reinforced in this perspective by a perverse sex media and a pathetic medical establishment urging him to overrule his own second thoughts, and he underwent surgery and hormone therapy, and then realized that surgery and hormone therapy won't cure mental illness, and now regrets his suffering and is finally considering detransitioning. So that's one story we could tell ourselves about that. He said the second story is that we can say, well, a man magically became a woman. The woman now magically wants to become a man. And he said, you get to pick which of those stories that you want to pick. And he says, the Department of Justice says America should be forced to embrace story number two. I don't know if that's true or not. Instead of recognizing the reality of mental illness and media's exploitation. And he said, we'll all be told to repeat story number two until it becomes second nature, or else we're going to be called bigots and have our businesses and states boycotted, or we'll be fined by the government. Instead of acknowledging the reality of sex and the reality of mental illness, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, okay, so... So that wasn't the part that was really interesting to me. The part that was really interesting to me was the one where he started quoting these statistics. And I find these statistics fascinating. I mean, they're very sad if they're all true. And I haven't gone out and done the research. But, you know, it's Ben Shapiro, so one would assume that he's done his homework. So he said, we would stop this charade if society actually cared about the truth. He said, truth number one, suicide rates among transgenders do not decrease thanks to sex change. Suicide rates among transgenders don't drop after surgery. He said, 41% of transgender people attempt suicide at some point in their life. That's compared to 4.6% of the general population. It's 10 times higher, the suicide rate, amongst transgender people. And among those who have never identified as transgender, so they feel like they're transgender internally, but they give no outward appearance of that. If I've got my notes here right, and these notes are from just a transcription of the YouTube thing, so they, you know, sometimes that's not always completely accurate. But I remember the numbers were in this ballpark, so I'll just read what's here in it. So among those who have never identified as transgender, so you can't, because they haven't ever come out as transgender, because they haven't ever appeared as transgender, you really don't have society that's affecting them because they're transgender. What you have is something internally going on. He said that suicide rate is 46%. He said 45% among transgender people who undergo hormone therapy in an attempt. He said that's still higher than the general. And he's saying that's higher than the general transgender suicide rate, the people who actually undergo the therapy and all that kind of stuff. And he said there's also a really high correlation between transgenderism and depression and suicidality in general. He said that's the first truth, that suicide rates amongst transgender people, whether they have transitioned or not, whether they identify as transgender or not. And by saying transgender, we mean people who are absolutely convinced that they're in the wrong body. And we'll get back to that in a minute. People who are absolutely convinced that they are not a he, they're really a she, and their body is wrong. That's what we mean by transgender. He said the number two truth is that children who are supposedly transgendered, you grow out of those feelings. He said Paul McGough is a former head of psychiatry at Johns Hopkins University. He finds that 70 to 80% of all children with transgender feelings grow out of this. He said, this is important because the media have already told parents that children confused about their sex should consider whether they are transgendered or not. I mean, I know a young man right now, fine young man. When he was growing up, at one point he looked at me and said, well, I want to be a girl. Okay, fine. I happen to know he's being raised as a single mom at that point. And I knew that there were several other men who were being an influence. Well, okay, all he's got at that point is influences. The majority influence is from a woman. So then he says, I want to be a girl. Okay, well, fine. But that doesn't mean his mom ran out and started putting him in dresses and started giving him hormone therapy. And he outgrew that. He's a fine young man. Now he's happy to be a guy. That's that. So, and this is truth number three, according to Ben Shapiro. Transgender regret is a very real thing. Then he cites the example of a man who underwent a sex change and then regretted it. And he wrote about it, a Federalist quote. There was a study commissioned by the Guardian of the UK in 2004. It revealed that 100 studies had found that 20% of people regretted what they had done. Said there's the findings in 2011, a Swedish study 7 years after the UK looked at morbidity and morality after gender reassignment, and it found people who changed gender had a higher risk of suicide in that study. And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Substantially higher rates of death from cardiovascular disease, which might indicate higher stress, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And in fact, I had actually read this. You know, Caitlyn Jenner showed early signs of regret. There was a Vanity Fair piece, and he said in the Vanity Fair piece that there was a point where Caitlyn was in a long hallway pacing back and forth on the dark wood floors where not ever even footsteps made a sound. The panic attack lasted about 15 seconds, but a single thought continued to course through her mind. Quote, what did I just do? What did I just do? Okay, but of course they sent over a counselor from the LA Gender Center and said, oh, well, you know, that's sometimes the result of pain medication, and second guessing is temporary, and it's only human, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Which is why what's very interesting is if Caitlyn Jenner actually transitions, that's going to be really interesting. But what struck me about all this is, like I said, I don't know that I can use the kind of strict and somewhat harsh language that Ben Shapiro uses about all this. Because humans, there is a lot of variety in humans. There's tremendous variety. But statistically, if it is true that true transgender people, people who absolutely believe that they are in the wrong body, that it's that they can never be happy until they can be in the right body, if it is true that the suicide rates are 10 times higher than they are in the general population, if it is true that even those who have not told anybody they feel transgender, that the suicide rate is 10 times higher, and in fact, that the suicide rates do not decline for people who then transition, you know, I think that's something that we just have to be aware of. I mean, I have a whole stack of things that I happen to think about this whole gender business. I think I have mentioned in the past that I think it would be more helpful if we would just get away from the term gender and go to something like reproductive function. You know, are you an inseminator or are you an incubator or are you other? And at this point, Caitlyn Jenner would be other. Because after all that gender reassignment surgery, she's not going to be able to inseminate anybody, and she's not really going to be able to incubate without some extraordinary medical interventions. Because for years, when my daughter was, you know, in her late teens and into the early college years, we would get on topics, you know, and she would have college friends or college-age friends around, and we'd get on kind of topic of gender when we got onto that topic. And I would say, okay, fine. You know, what, when you say I'm a woman or when you say I'm a man, what does that mean? And I've mentioned this before. And they would flounder around trying to come up with a definition. Well, it means you're strong and masculine. That's what a man is. Oh, so a woman can't be strong. Well, no, a woman can be strong and masculine. I mean, there's no description that you can come up with that you can't flip the gender on it. Well, you know, so a woman likes pink. Okay, so you're saying a man can't like pink? Well, no, a man can like pink, but, you know. And finally, it would get turned around to me, and they'd say, well, when you say you're a man, what does that mean? And I'd say, well, when I say a man, I'm a man. It means I have an X chromosome and a Y chromosome in every single cell in my body. Except one. One type. And anything else besides that, that tries to define me as a man, is probably just trying to sell me something. Or is probably just trying to answer the questions for the engines of reproduction. Because I think a lot, now I'm thinking that a lot of this stuff about our instinctive categorization of men and women, women often go, what? When, when I talk to them about the fact that when a guy walks into the room, the guy is very aware of all the people who are in the room. And frankly, a guy is very aware of guy, girl, 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 guy, girl, guy, because this engine of reproduction is trying to answer that question, can I have sex with it? And unfortunately, it is it, because baseline inseminator reproductive engines don't care about anything else except insemination. And also, when, you know, a woman moves into a room and kind of looks around, I mean, she's also kind of going through that process to figure out who's female, who's male, partly because, she, you know, safer, not, maybe not as safe, safe, not safe, safe, not safe. But a lot of these decisions that we're making based on outward appearance, which is really what gender reassignment surgery is trying to solve, because you really can't go into every single cell yet in the body and change it from a male cell to a female cell or a female cell to a male cell. So really what you're trying to do is just do something about outward appearance. And that idea of just the outward appearance being important to change really comes down to our society efforts to classify people, and those efforts come down to human beings trying to classify people, either to sell them something or to identify whether they are male and female for the engines of reproduction within us. And I'm to the point in my life, I kind of just reject all that stuff. I just really want to relate to people as people. And so it's taken me a while to get here, but hey, I'm going to be 60 this year, so I get to be a little quirky. And that's one of the reasons I can dress up like an elf and wear candy cane tights, and it's fine. I mean, my dad looks at that and goes, what's you wearing? He cannot get in his head how a man would put on tights like that. It was just because. What will people think? Well, we'll be, okay, I don't care. I don't care. Because to me, that's not gender. It's just a costume, and it's a cute costume, and it's a fun costume, and I had a lot of fun doing it, and I will do it again. Because it's not the outward appearance that makes me a man. What makes me a man is I have a Y chromosome and an X chromosome. And at the very least, the people who have undergone gender reassignment surgery are believing a lie that if all they can do is just change the outside, and if they can just fool people into thinking that they're one gender or another gender, that that's going to solve everything. And it won't. It won't. You know, as I was listening to these statistics, I gotta go because I gotta get some food, and I got to do some writing, and I got to go. When I was listening to these statistics, what struck me was if you're talking about people who really, desperately, and truly believe that they're in the wrong body, I think the focus is on the wrong thing. You know, I really think they would be well served to explore what they think is so bad about being whatever body they're in. Because if they're saying, oh, I don't like being a man's body because I can't wear dresses. Well, of course you can wear dresses. No one's stopping you from wearing dresses. You can wear dresses if you want to. Everybody in the Old Testament was wearing dresses. You know, well, I can't do makeup and hair. Well, of course you can. If you want to do makeup and hair, do makeup and hair. What difference does it make? That's just outside. That's not really male, female. You know, if they're just offended, terribly offended by, you know, their physical constructs, well, then I think really that maybe should be the cause for some counseling and for some discussion. Because there's all sorts of other things that we do classify as some type of mental disturbance, mental illness, when a person cannot accept their body, i.e. anorexics, i.e. body dysmorphics, who believe that there's something fundamentally wrong with their body, i.e. people who are convinced that they really should have been an amputee or they really should have been handicapped and they're not. I mean, we have this whole spate of people that when there is a disconnect and when there is friction between what they believe about themselves and their physical bodies, we do say that that's cause to need counseling. So why is it different for gender? And if you've got somebody who's actually willing to have themselves mutilated to bring themselves more into line with what they imagine that they are, maybe that is cause and need for counseling. And I would put people who undergo continuous plastic surgeries in that camp. Some of these poor women who have been under the knife so many times that they just look bizarre. When we look at those people, do we not go, oof, wow, really? Or Michael Jackson? Look at all Michael Jackson did to himself in trying to make his skin lighter and trying to reshape his face and his nose and his chin and trying to come to grips with what he saw in the mirror. Would he not been better served resolving those internal issues and accepting himself and accepting his body for what it was, then pursuing all the things that he pursued? So this is all just really very interesting to me. And frankly, I mean, I understand some of it because my brain, I don't have a lot of those boundaries in my brain. And frankly, if I had not been willing to accept that it's okay that I don't necessarily exactly conform to the gender myth of what it means to be a man, that's okay. I mean, if I was told that, well, because, you know, you don't want to go out and play football, rah, you don't want to go out and hunt, and rah, you don't want to do these manly things, and obviously, you must be transgender. Well, no, I fully accept that I'm a little quirky, and I'm a little flexible, and that's okay. I mean, it really comes in handy with the writing, because I feel like I can write well from a feminine perspective. Because I understand the feminine perspective. But that don't mean that I don't accept my body or I want to go somewhere and have stuff implanted and cut off. No, thank you. I am more than happy to be in the container that I'm in the shape that it's in. I am content. I'm very happy. But after hearing all these statistics, I do think that there is a case to be made for saying that in whatever form it comes in, if there is a person that is so disturbed and disconnected from the physical body that they're in, from the physical presence, incarnation that they are in, that they feel like they have to do things to mutilate themselves, not decorate, mutilate themselves, cut stuff off, put stuff in, change stuff around, and that they have to do that or they can find no happiness in life, then maybe that is a cause where there really needs to be some investigation for that person to find some internal peace before they go down a road where they are doing stuff to their outward appearance, because I just have a sneaking suspicion they can do whatever they want to their outside appearance, and at the end of the day, it's not going to change the internal conflict, because the internal conflict is coming from the flesh, and the flesh is not going to be sated by external modifications. This is Phil Farron. And I have made it to the church, and I'm going to go in and get something to eat. Have a great week.